Amen. You see, so we've been talking for the last few weeks about what our church believes and what makes our church unique. And so we've been discussing several things, and this morning I want us to talk about God's Word. Obviously, preachers, that's one of my favorite things to talk about. And I hope it's one of your favorite things as well. God's Word should be very precious to us as believers. It is God's Word to us. God's Word is alive and fresh. It speaks to us in new ways. Some of you have probably, like I have, read through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation at least once. Maybe you've done it lots of times. But it's not something that every time I read, no matter what the passage is, I find something new. How many times have you read a scripture that you've read thousands of times and God shows you something new in it? That's because God's Word is unlike any other book. It's alive. And it refreshes us and challenges us and corrects us. We need it. We need a steady diet of God's Word. And one of the biggest problems the church of today faces is an unhealthy diet among those that call themselves people of God. That we're malnourished. The Bible is more available today than it ever has been in the history of our world. You can buy a Bible at the Dollar Tree. You can find it at Walmart, you can find it online, you can find just about any version of the Bible that you want to read online. So it's readily available to us. And yet, far too often, people of God are more biblically illiterate than they've ever been. You see, and here's the problem. It's not just that we have the Bible. Because the truth is, most of us probably have several Bibles. You probably have several. Maybe you have some at your office. Maybe you have some at home. Maybe in your bedroom you keep one. You might have it on your phone or on your tablet. So we have them everywhere. But can I tell you that just having them does not do you any bit of good. And so we're going to talk about this morning. Healthy eating equals healthy living. We all say we want to be healthy. We know that we need to be healthy. And there's something about eating healthy. If you eat healthy, guess what happens to your body? It gets healthy. When you stop eating junk food and you start eating regular food, you cut down on the bad sugars and you start eating good things for you, your body begins to change. And so you might lose weight. You might have a lot of other. Your cholesterol will probably go down. Your bad cholesterol. Your good cholesterol will go up. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel better. You're going to be stronger and able to deal with things better. And so just as that's true in our physical life, it's true in our spiritual life as well. And the Apostle Paul, on a few occasions, calls God's Word the milk and the meat of the Word. And we need both. You know, babies, we start babies out on baby formula. That stuff is gross. None of us were baby. You know, babies would not eat that on their own accord if they knew better. But if you've tasted baby formula, and I don't know why you would have, but and I don't know why I have, but I have. It's gross. It doesn't taste good. And so I think, but when we're babies, that's what we need. But praise God, we shouldn't stay on baby formula. Babies progress, you know, they've got those little jars of smashed up bananas and smashed up chicken and smashed up peas and all those kind of things, and they've got, you know, the little baby cookies and all those kind of things. And then you graduate from that to being able to have really good stuff, like pizza and steak and baked potatoes. And praise God, Ed, praise God we can. But see, the problem with us is that far too often we're content just drinking spiritual milk and saying, that's good. And we're missing out on all the wonderful flavors that God has for us in His Word. We need a regular, consistent, steady diet of God's Word. And that will help you tremendously in every aspect of your life. If you don't believe me, I dare you to try it. And you sincerely do it for a month, and if it doesn't work, you come tell me. I really would like to know, because I guarantee it's a money back guarantee. If you do it, it will make a difference. It will make a positive difference in your life. And so let's take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 10 this morning. So 2 Timothy 3:10, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." What a wonderful reminder that the Apostle Paul gives us of how important God's Word should be to the child of God. Because it is God's Word. It has a lot of things that it does. He lists them there in verse 16. You know, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the Bible does a lot of good, but it doesn't do you a lot of good sitting on your table or sitting on the bookshelf or sitting on your phone and just being there. But when you open it and you read it or you hear it, once it gets in here, it filters down and it gets to your heart. And it gets throughout all of who you are. And so Paul says, listen, you've endured things. You've been saved. You've changed. And how that's happened has been you've listened and obeyed the Word of God. And so I forgot to read this for us, that first slide, if you'll go back, Brother Bill, about what our church believes about the Bible. So we believe the Bible, God's powerful, unchanging truth, guides and equips all who receive and obey it. Doing what it says should not be a surprise. It shouldn't be the exception. It should be the rule. Therefore, we will unleash the Word of God personally and with those we encounter. As a church, we take the Bible very seriously. I will never preach. Hopefully, no pastor this church has had or will ever have in coming days will preach anything but this Word. We have doctrinal statements and different things, but guess what? They're all based on this book. And as we talked about Sunday school this morning, if anybody comes to you and tries to lead you astray from this book, you believe this book, not the yo-yo trying to lead you astray. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us of two important truths. And the first one is this, that we all need, every child of God needs a regular, healthy intake of God's Word. Can I tell you that as a child of God, I dare say all of us, myself included, could spend more time in God's Word than what we do. But we need to be in God's Word every day. Most of you have a Bible, either a hard copy Bible or on your phone, and you're following along as I preach, and that's wonderful and great, and I'm glad you do that. But if the only time you open this book, either the hard copy or on your phone, is on Sunday morning, it's not doing you a whole lot of good. Just like if the only time you ate was Sunday, you'd be in a mess of hurt. You'd be skin and bones, yet, but you wouldn't live very long, would you? Guess what? I expect every day when I get up, I'm going to eat something for breakfast that day. And I'm probably going to eat something after breakfast, too. I probably have dinner or lunch. I probably have supper. You know what, I'm probably going to eat something even after I eat supper. Because I eat supper and I'm full, but before I go to bed, oftentimes I have a little slice of cheese. Or, a little snack. You know what, we need to be in God's Word that way. We cannot just show up to it once a week and expect it to do its job. Just like most medicines that you take, you have to take them every day. And if you don't take them every day, they don't do what they're supposed to do. God's Word is the same. You need a regular, daily intake of God's Word. So there, for some, maybe just 5 minutes. Listen, if 5 minutes is more than what you do now, that's a good starting place. Start there. And then every week, maybe add another minute. Start small, that's fine. A little bit will do you more good than it none will, that's for certain. People say, well, I don't understand it. Well, then you find a version now there are plenty of versions that are good English translations. Now there are some bad ones out there too. And I'm not going to take time this morning to mention the good and the bad, but if you really want to know, you come after church and ask me and I'd be glad to talk with you. The best Bible translation is the one that you'll read. And you say, well, I'm not a good reader. Well, if you're not a good reader, get it on tape. There's audio Bibles. There's apps that you can download and put on your phone that'll read God's Word to you. Get it and listen to it. And I dare say it'd be good for all of us to do both. To listen to it and to read it. Because if we hear it and we read it, guess what? Eventually it's going to sink in and we'll get it. So we need a regular, healthy dose of God's Word. And so, schedule it. I know some people that it's on their calendar. Some of us are so busy. If you're so busy, you haven't got time to read God's Word, you're too busy. You need to cut something out because we only have so many minutes and so many hours of the day. But what you don't need to cut out is God's Word and time with God. You need to protect that and make sure that you have a regular, whether it's early in the morning, whether it's at lunchtime, whether it's in the afternoon, whether it's in the evening. I think the Lord is more concerned that you do it than when you do it. Jesus had the habit of getting up early in the morning and praying. And there are, of course, benefits of doing that. But again, it's not that we check boxes and that we're just rigid about something, but that we do it. So we need to be reading God's Word. So there's different plans that you can get on. Our Sunday school book has a daily Bible reading through the week. Different places that help reinforce the lesson that we've talked about the previous week and to get us ready for the lesson the next week. So if you need help finding a regular schedule, I would love to share some with you. We need a regular, healthy intake of God. No matter how strong you think you are, no matter how good of a Christian you think you may be, you are not strong enough and healthy enough that you don't need God's Word. There are some of you that have been reading the Bible longer than I've been alive. But I tell you, if you're above dirt, you still need to read God's Word every day. Because I don't care who you are or how long or what you've done for the Lord. If you're living, there's still things the Lord has for you to do, but there's also things the Lord is teaching you. When He's done with you, you go to eternity. And so if you're still here, it's because He has something for you to do and He has something to show you. And if you're AWOL or you're not taking the medicine, which is God's Word, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. And so we need a regular, healthy intake of God's Word. But our regular, healthy intake is, again, not just reading it, but maybe even going to the point of memorizing it. Maybe thinking about it. And so maybe you don't read a whole great big long chapter, but maybe you just really focus in on a verse or two. Or maybe a paragraph. And maybe you spend a week thinking about just that paragraph. Listen, there are parts of God's Word that are so rich and so full that you could spend a long, long time unpacking it. And I tell you, it's good and healthy for you to do that. And then what you'll find is that when you're having a daily, healthy, regular intake of God's Word, when we come together corporately, man, the worship services seem to be better. And the preaching seems to be better. And the singing seems to be better. Well, it's the same preacher and the same singer, so what changed? You did. So we need a regular, healthy intake of God's Word. And then the Apostle Paul says, not only do you need that, but you need a regular, healthy outflow of God's Word. So you need to take it in, but then you need to let it go out. I want to share with you 1 Timothy 4:13 through 15. Says this, until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Now, those were specific instructions given to Paul's protege, Timothy, a young pastor. But it's applicable to every one of us. We all should be an example. We all need to practice these things. God says it is word. Listen, this is my word. It's profitable for you. It's my inspired word. So I want you to read it. I want you to take it in, however you do that. And I want you to internalize it. And as you internalize it, it's going to come out of you. It can't help but come out of you. And so all of a sudden you become more forgiving and more loving and more patient. Why? Because God's word is having an effect on your life. And God is using his word to draw you closer to him and making you more and more like him. And when you're more and more like him, others notice that. And so he says, don't keep it to yourself. The reality is, if you have to wonder if you're a Christian or if somebody you know is a Christian, they probably aren't. God intends for us to know through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Listen, sometimes you may feel like a Christian. There may be days you don't particularly feel like a Christian. It's not based on feelings. It's based on what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and whether you've accepted that free gift or not. And that's all it's based on. But God's word does say if we've made that decision, he makes us new. And we're born as spiritual babies. But then, guess what? Thank God none of us stayed babies. We grew. And some of us, instead of growing taller, we're growing wider. And that's not the kind of growth that, you know, is particularly healthy, probably. God wants us to understand that as we put it in, it's got to come out. So as we eat the healthy word of God, it impacts our life. It changes who we are. But then it also impacts what we do. And so as we heard twice in the last few weeks, the admonition from Hebrews chapter 10, not forsake the assembling of yourselves. Lost people don't come to church as a general rule. Sometimes they might. If you invite them, they will probably come. But most of the time, Christians are in church. Why? Because God's people gathered together. Lost people aren't concerned about the church. They're not concerned about God. God's people should be, though. And a healthy intake of God's word helps us to have some outward indications of that. And so it drives us to support missions. It drives us to be loving and forgiving. The scriptures say, Jesus said it, if you don't forgive your brother, my Father won't forgive you. The Apostle Paul admonishes us as Christ has forgiven you, forgive others. That is a mighty tall order. I tell you, it's hard to do. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. When somebody has hurt you or somebody that you love, you're not real interested in their forgiveness. What you're interested in, what your motivation probably is, if we're letting our natural man kind of rule things, is I'm going to get them back twice as bad as what they got my loved one. Yet if the Word of God is in our life and is changing us, we're reminded that we really didn't deserve Christ's forgiveness. But no matter how rotten and how dirty and how sinful we were, Christ received us and made us new, and said that those sins are wiped away, and we are white as snow through the blood of Jesus. How we know that we're having a regular intake of God's word is by what comes out of us. When you go to the doctor for your yearly physical, the doctor's going to draw your blood. He's not going to ask you, "Hey, Alice, how you been doing with your eating?" He doesn't have to ask her, or she doesn't have to, whichever it is. I don't know what her doctor is. My doctor doesn't ask me. Chances are your doctor doesn't ask you. If they do, they're not really listening to the answer because they know what the answer is because they got your blood work. Because you're going to look at that blood work and it's going to have numbers. And the doctor is either going to say, "You know what, that medicine and what you're doing really is working and it's made a difference." Or they're going to say, "You better start doing what I told you to do." Because they're going to know. Well, how do they know? It's in the blood work. You say, "Oh, I promised I've been doing it. I've been taking that, or I've been eating right." Well, they'll look at the numbers, and they'll know whether you're telling the truth or not. In our spiritual life, if we are doing the things that God has told us to do, and we're regularly digesting His Word, nobody has to ask you, "How's your Bible reading going?" Because they can see it. It becomes evident. But I want to challenge us with something. I want you to look this week. As you read the Bible this week, I want to first challenge you, make sure you're in God's Word this week for at least a few minutes. But then I want to challenge you with something else. And I think something that's much more important. I want you to share with somebody else what God is teaching you through His Word. You may say to that coworker, you say, "You know what? In my Bible reading this week, I was reading about forgiveness. And you know what? Forgiveness sure is a difficult thing." So they tell you that Christians aren't the only ones that struggle with wanting to forgive people. We all do. But forgiveness is something that Jesus offers to anyone. And by you having those kind of conversations, it may open doors, and that person may not be saved. They may not be where they should be with their walk with the Lord. And it might help plant some seeds to draw them to the Lord. Or it may be with another Christian who says, "You know what? Yeah, I struggle with that too." We need the encouragement of one another. Remember, we've been reminded on numerous occasions, you cannot live the Christian life alone. You need other believers. Part of that outflow should be our regular fellowship with other believers and our regular worship with other believers. We need one another. And so God challenges us and reminds us, listen, you have God's Word. Don't be hearers only, James says. What does he say? He said, be ye doers of the Word. It's the doing that makes the difference. It doesn't matter. You could have 1,000 Bibles sitting in your house. That'd be the most Bibles I know of anybody ever had. But if all they do is sit on a bookshelf, they ain't doing you a lick of good. But you take one of them, and you read it and you digest it, boy, that makes a big difference because of what God does for us. Let's pray again. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your Word. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after it. Lord, help our prayer to be like the prayer of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, thy Word is a light unto my path. Lord, help us to hunger after your Word. Help us to devour it. Help us not just to read it, but to live it, to apply the things that you teach us. Lord, change us through your Word. We thank you for its power. We thank you that it's quicker than a two-edged sword, able to divide, get to the root of the matter. Help us, we pray, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if there's something God spoke into your heart, there's a decision you need to make, today would be a great day and a great time to make it. Maybe your decision today is, you know what, this week I'm going to get in God's Word and I'm going to spend a few minutes every day this week. And I'm going to share with somebody what God is teaching me and how I'm applying it. So let's sing together.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength.